Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
I'm going to share with you, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Habakkuk 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Did Miss Pamela not do an amazing job last week? I was so proud. I was so proud. You guys have no idea what it took for her to get up here and do that. And that's just part of the shift that's happening. And I believe that she's got a voice that's going to speak to this church and our generation for years to come. I believe that was just the beginning. She's over there saying, no, I don't know, but it is. And I believe that God's given her a prophetic voice as well that we need to hear. Habakkuk 2, verse 2. Also, I want to thank you for the way you honored her last week. You really honored her last week by your response and by your attention, and I want to thank you for that. All right, Habakkuk 2:2 says, then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run. Somebody say run. Who reads it? We're going to read that one more time. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is alive and well, that it is sharper than a double-edged sword, God. And Lord, I thank you that your word is here to speak to us and change our lives today. We ask that you do that in Jesus' name. Everybody shouted, amen. Would you give the worship team a hand this morning? I want you to look at your neighbor and say, can you see it? Look at your second choice neighbor and say, can you see it? And then the one that you've completely ignored, maybe in front of you or behind you, look at them and say, hey, can you see it? Nobody get their feelings hurt. We don't need to be offended. So here is what I want to do today. I want to talk to you about vision. About vision. Can you see it? Can you see God's plan for your life? Can you see that he has plans for you to prosper you, to not to harm you, to give you a hope and a what? Future. So the question is, can you see it? Can we see past this moment? Can we see past this day? Those of you that could be going through a circumstance right now that's difficult, can you see past it? Because the ability to see past your present will determine your ability to go farther into the things of God. Does that make sense? And so here's what we know to start off with is that God absolutely knows your future. He knows your future. Somebody say, God only knows my future. And so the scripture that I just quoted, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster. And they are plans to give you a future and a hope. And so the Lord's saying, hey, I know the plans that I have for you. God has, man, I've heard it all of my life. God has a plan for your life. We said, everyone under the sound of my voice needs to know that God has a plan for your life. We've heard that over and over and over again. But what we don't realize is that God wants to share those plans with us. He wants to show us what the plan is. He doesn't want us to walk through life blindly, not knowing what's going on or not knowing what to expect in our tomorrows or anything like that. God is wanting to share the plans with us. In fact, Romans 12:2 says this. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Listen to this. Then you will learn to know God's will for you. Now stop and think about that. So if we change the way we think, then we will be able to learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and what? Perfect. Good, pleasing, and perfect. So Wednesday night, we had a very interesting discussion in our adult small group over in the cafe. And it was on one of the verses of the day from the Bible app that said, from Matthew, it says, be perfect, for your heavenly Father is perfect. And we talked about perfection and how, you know, I, by nature, like things that, like this morning, like the chaos at the beginning of the service, like that kind of stuff drives me crazy because I'm a perfectionist and I want everything to flow and to be smooth and to be in order and all of these things. And I used to think, you know, I need to be less of a perfectionist, but then I get to open my Bible and read where it says, hey, be perfect, for your heavenly Father is perfect. And I was like, oh, I'm finally justified. My perfectionist attitude is finally justified. But here's the deal. Are we ever going to be perfect? No. But should we strive to be perfect? Yeah, we should. I believe Christians should do things well. I think whether it's in the workplace, in the marketplace, at home, or at church, wherever we are, or how about this, even on the lake fishing, I think we should strive for perfection. We should be doing everything as unto the Lord. We should. God's a God of order, right? He likes that, and he wants us to strive for that. And he says that his plans for us right here are good, pleasing, and perfect. So if God's plans for us are perfect, who messes them up? Somebody point, I do. How many of you have ever messed up God's plan before, right? It's like, hey, I'm pretty good at that. But here's the deal. God's will is to share your future with you. Okay, that's his will. He wants to show you what is to come. He wants to share, hey, I've got plans for you. Let me tell you. But here's the catch. He only shares those kind of secrets in the secret place. So the question is, can you see it? Can you see past your circumstance? Can you see past today? Can you see past your troubles? Can you see past your questions and your wonderings? And if the answer is no, maybe you need to go to the secret place and get intimate with God so that he will begin to reveal these things to you. And so this is going to show you some of the ways we do that. Isaiah 46:10 says this, only I can tell you the future before it even happens. That's God, man. God is all-knowing. He knows everything from the beginning to the end. He knows your past, he knows your present, and he knows your future. And if we allow him, he will take the things from your past and the things from your present, and he will equip you for your future. And this is the things that God is wanting to do for his people. It says, I love this next part. Now pay attention. Everything I plan will come to pass. Whoa. That is awesome. For I do whatever I wish. Isn't that awesome? God's saying, hey, only I can tell you the future before it even happens. And everything that I plan will come to pass, for I do whatever I wish. Man, that's my God right there. Only God can talk with that kind of boldness, right? And so, and it be pure and undefiled. He's saying, hey, I've got plans for you. Remember, good, pleasing, and perfect. And he can share those with us, and everything that he plans will come to pass. So many times our vision for the future is clouded by our past. You know, these new boxes that we've put up here, they're makeshift. We've got somebody that's going to work on getting more professional things here. But they have a clouded substance there to where it kind of blocks the light from being blinding, right? If we put clear glass there, then all you would see was the pure light. But we have chosen a frosted material so that so that the light will be distorted and look the way we want it to. But many times, you know, by the way, these are like air filters. Isn't that cool? I spent $6 on each pillar. $6. Okay. So anyway, sometimes it looks like we're looking at life through an air filter, because we've allowed the things from our past to just muddy everything up and to cloud everything up. And our disappointments, our failures, past experiences, different things, they, if we're not careful, those things will cloud our vision. And I want you to consider Lot's wife. You remember the story of Lot and his wife and his family? And, you know, Abraham had to intercede for this family, for them not to be destroyed. It took a lot to save these people from the destruction of God with Sodom and Gomorrah, right? You remember the story? And then they're fleeing for their life, and the angel of the Lord had ministered to them and told them, whatever you do, don't look back. Don't look back. But there was something in Lot's wife that had so connected to her from her past that as she was being delivered from her present circumstance and situation, she turned and looked back, and we know that that was the end of her life. Pillar of salt. Why? Because something in her past had clouded her and had bound to her so that she could not reach what God had planned for her future. We are like that so many times. We come back here and we are saved and we're delivered from an old lifestyle and from old circumstances and the things of this world. We're saved from those things, and God said, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so we're escaping. And then at some point we remember something, and we turn and we look. And because of that thing in our past, we are drawn back into our circumstance. Now we have forfeited our freedom, and we have forfeited our abundant life with Christ, because we're allowing things from the past to cloudy what God has for our future. Well, what about the things I left behind? What about the relationships that were back here? What about the failures that were back here? What about the things that held me back for so long? What about those things? What about the generational curses that are back here? What about those things? You know, and if we, but what I believe is that when God sets you free, you are free. And these things that are back here no longer belong in your life. So what we've got to do is we've got to be careful. We've got to be careful that things from back here do not get our attention. How do we do that? We set our eyes on things above, not things below. And God wants us to set our things on heavenly things, not on earthly things. And so God wants us to reset our vision so that we can see what he wants to do in our life. It says, but Lot's wife looked back as she was following behind. Now, when I read this, I felt strong unction of the Holy Spirit to share with you this morning that as God is shifting things and moving things in the Spirit for this body, don't get left behind. Don't fall behind. We're pressing into God, man. We're pressing in through prayer. We're pressing in through worship. We're pressing in through intercession. Every day I come in here and lay hands on every chair in this sanctuary, praying that God will send in the harvest from the north, the south, the east, and the west. We've got our staff coming in here and praying. And we're really pressing into God. But I want to encourage you. And I've seen some strides with some of you as well, just trying to do what you can do and press in toward God. But in our cries for revival, but what we're wanting is for God to revive us from the inside out. Sometimes we're waiting for God to revive the outside so that we'll finally get on board and jump into the revival train. But God's saying, I want to revive you from the inside out. He wants us to be holy and righteous and live a life of standard before him and live a life that's pleasing to him. And God's saying, hey, be careful that you don't get left behind, because it's when you get left behind that you have a tendency to look back. And God is saying, stay with the flock. Stay connected. Do not follow behind. And she turned into a pillar of salt. So sometimes we're clouded by what was and what we wish had been. Cloudy with the way things used to be. You know, sometimes we hang on to and it was good. There were seasons in the church in the past, they were good. They were good. You know, people call them the glory days, right? The good old days. You know, all of that. And so we get clouded by what was, and we try to hold on to those things. But here's the deal. If something has died and you hang on to it too long, you start to smell just like it. Okay, all right. I'm going to get off that real fast because I can tell that's not too pleasant. And then we also get clouded by what we wish had been. Man, if I could go back, be careful. If I could go back, I would do things different. You can't go back. Be careful with the way what you wish things had been. Look at somebody and say, can you see it? Many times our vision for the future is also clouded by our present. So I want you to consider Sarah with this one. Sarah, woman of God, right? I mean, Abraham's wife and Sarah, and before she became Sarah, and the angel of the Lord came to speak with her and to speak with her husband and told them that they were going to have a son. The only problem is cats were old, right? I mean, that would be God, right? Genesis 18:10 says this, then one of them said, I will return to you about this time next year, and your wife, Sarah, will have a son. Sarah was listening to this conversation from the tent. And Abraham and Sarah were both very old by this time, and Sarah was long past the age of having children. I don't even know if at this point she's like, I mean, do I really want kids? I mean, I can understand. All right, that's all I'm saying. So she laughed silently to herself. She laughed silently to herself and said, how could, I love the NLT version. It's not politically correct at all. I do not recommend quoting this to your wife in any way. How could a worn out woman, thought I'd use that just for a laugh. How could a worn out woman like me enjoy such pleasure, especially when my master, my husband, is also so old? Now she's criticizing her husband. I'm like, so old. I'm old, but he's so old. He's old, old. Then the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh? Why did she say, can an old woman like me have a baby? Is anything too hard for the Lord? I will return this time next year, just like I said the first time, and Sarah will have a son. You see, we get clouded by things in our present like coins, clocks, and circumstances. Coins, clocks, and circumstances. This is the amount of money I have. This is the amount of time I have. This is how old I am. This is how young I am. And these are the circumstances that would prevent me from reaching the things that God has laid on my heart. There are some of you that you have had dreams of financing missionaries all around the world and doing great things for the kingdom of God. You have had dreams of sharing your testimony to the people at your workplace. You have had dreams about doing great things for the kingdom of God. And because of your present situation, your circumstance, your lack of funds at this moment, or the amount of time that you have in your day, you have limited God in what he wants to do in your future, and now you can no longer see his good, pleasing, and perfect plan. Now we're just surviving. But God never called us to survive. He called us to thrive. So we can't thrive as long as we are basing God's divine ability in our life based on our coins, clocks, and circumstances. He is not the God of the natural. He is the God of the supernatural. He is not the God who is limited by our now. He can do anything he wants to now and forever. God is all-powerful, he is all-knowing, and he is in control of your life. And he said, whatever my plans are, they're going to happen. They're going to happen. Somebody say, they're going to happen. So we don't want to be clouded by our present circumstances. Also, God's desire is to make it plain to us. I've heard so many people, I just don't know what God's will is for my life. I don't know what the future, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I don't know what his plan is for me. I don't know where I'm going. I feel like I'm just living life. But God wants to make it plain for you. Proverbs 29:18 says this, when there is no clear prophetic vision, people quickly wander astray. He says, when there's no clear prophetic vision, people begin to wander astray. And it says, but when you follow the revelation of the word, heaven's bliss fills your soul. What I found is when people have no vision, they get discouraged very easily. They begin to feel defeated. They feel like they have no purpose. They feel like they're wandering around in the desert. They feel like there's no hope for them. They feel like they're just surviving from day to day to day to day. But when people have vision and they're working towards something and they're trying to achieve something that God has laid on their heart, you begin to see joy. I've seen joy rise up in Verna because God gave her a vision to start the first cancer care ministry in our entire region. That's awesome. That is connected with the Cancer Centers of America. She was very specific about what she wanted. She went to Atlanta, got trained, came back here, trained people from the training that she did in Atlanta, and she went with my mom, and they teamed up, and they did this thing, and now she is having her first cancer care banquet this Saturday night that had 160 seats that sold out. And I've seen her. She comes in the office bouncing off the walls. She's a cancer survivor. She, like I said last week, she's a cancer thriver. You know, and so God has used her, and she's full of joy and excitement about what God's doing. And she came back fired up and ready to go. It's like, can we do it now? Can we do it now? Is it time? We got to go. We got to go. And look, that's what happens when you have vision. So the question is, can you see it? Or are we so clouded that we're just wandering around from day to day? God wants to make it plain. Somebody shout, make it plain. 1 Corinthians 14:33 says this, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. As in all the churches of the saints. Now that's awesome. Somebody say, that's me. All the churches of the saints, that's me. You are the church. It says God is not the author of confusion. Well, we like to throw that verse out when somebody's throwing a fit or having, you know, making problems or trouble or something like that. But I can tell you from day-to-day life, God does not want you to be confused. He wants you to have peace. When you lay down at night, he wants you to sleep in peace. Not trying to figure out your life, right? That's not the time. God wants you to have peace, supernatural peace that the Bible says surpasses all of our understanding. So we don't even have to understand. We just say, hey, I know that God's plans for me are good, pleasing, and perfect, that he has a plan for my life, and he wants me to do great things for the kingdom of God. Because why? I'm a saint, right? And so I'm going to follow him with peace into whatever he has for my life. He doesn't want you to be confused. If you are feeling confused, it's either you or the devil, right? It is not God. That is not God. So let me just, somebody needs to hear that. I feel strong. That is not God. Amen. Somebody shout, can you see it? Real quickly, as we close this morning, if the worship team would come, I want to talk about 5 keys to reaching your goals. And I'm just going to zip through these and write them down. We're going to be receiving communion here in just a few moments. 5 keys to reaching your goals. Number 1, write the goals down. Now, God God is, I'm sure, giving you some goals, some things you would like to see. I know people, their goal is to pay off all their debt. They're going through financial peace right now. They want to pay off their debt. Write it down. Write down how much you owe and write down a goal of when you'd like to have that paid off. Write it down. There's power when you write these things down. And that's our key verse this morning. It says, the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain. Pamela and I still believe in the impossibility list. We still have an impossibility list. In fact, we've had to make new impossibility lists because the ones on our old one have all been met. Right? That's exciting. That's really fun. You know, that's really fun. And so we just keep it updated. God meets our last list of impossibilities. We just keep adding them. And so, you know, we have things written down that we're believing for and we're actively pursuing in our life. It gives us a mark to try to hit, right? So it's kind of like pin the tail on the donkey, right? If there's no tail on the donkey, if there's no donkey, how are you going to pin the tail on the donkey, right? But you need something to aim at. You need something, but you know, a lot of times we're walking around like that, like we're blindfolded, right? We don't know what we're doing, but God wants you to take the blindfold off, see the donkey, have a mark that you can aim for. Number two, talk about your goals with someone you trust. When I wrote that down, I'd actually put, talk about your goals with someone. And I felt impressed by the Holy Spirit to add that you trust. Because if you talk about it with the wrong people, they're going to bring you down. Man, how are you ever going to do that? Man, well, I'd like to see that happen, right? You don't need those kind of input, that kind of input in your life. You need to write them down. You need to talk about them. So here's what we do. Here's what Pamela and I do. We write stuff down, and then we sit down and we talk about it. And if we haven't talked about it in a while, she's the one that comes and says, hey, we haven't sat down and talked about, like, just our goals, like what we're doing, where we're at. You need to know where we're at in the debt payoff process. We have one vehicle in our house that's left on our debt, and they would be paid off, but our kids keep taking our money. So, but there's something that we're aiming for. There's investments that we have goals for, and we sit down and we talk about those things. There's things pertaining to this church and our ministry that we have goals that we're working towards, and it's very good, and it stirs up faith when you begin to talk about them with somebody else that you trust. Number three, stay focused. Stay focused. Proverbs 4:25 through 27 says this, let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Habakkuk 2:3 says, remember it said, 2:2 said, write the vision down, make it plain, right? Verse 3 says, the vision is for a future time. It describes the end, and it will be fulfilled. If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take place. It will not be delayed. So you got to stay focused. That's so important. You have to stay focused. And if it doesn't seem like it's happening as fast as you want it to happen, stay focused. Keep going. Don't keep pursuing those things that God has laid on your heart. Keep focused. Don't let what we see as delay slow you down. You need to make sure that you keep your eyes fixed on it. I've got my eyes set on this. We are going to be debt free in the name of Jesus. And that means we're not going to eat out every time we want to eat out. That means we're not going to do everything that we want to do. That means that we're not going to do some of the things that all of our friends are doing. But we're going to spend that money well, and we're going to pay off debt, and we're going to pay down debt, and then we're going to put stuff in investments, and we're going to leave our children and our children's children an inheritance in the name of Jesus. But you can't do that if you don't stay focused. Because here's how the enemy works. I'm going to pay off debt, then your hot water heater blows up. I'm going to pay off debt, but you're in a car accident. I want to pay off debt, but you lose a job. That's the way the enemy works. Don't blame God for that. That's the way the enemy works. And he's saying, hey, don't get your eyes off the prize. Keep your eyes fixed on the prize, because he's wanting to take all of these things and use all of these things, and he's wanting you to reach your goals regardless of your circumstances. Amen. Somebody say, I got to stay focused. Number four, be aggressive. It says in Matthew 11, verse 12, it says, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. You've got to be aggressive. So my greatest goal in life is that my children grow up to be mighty men and women of God. That is the most important thing to me in life. I'm sorry, I know you thought it was you, but it's not. It's my kids, all right? And so, I'm just kidding. But we've got to be aggressive. You know what I think has happened in today's society is parents have become too passive. Now I'm gonna step maybe on some toes, but we give our kids cell phones that have the entire world wrapped up into a box. Good, bad, evil, ugly, indifferent doctrines, all of these things. I mean, sinful thing. I mean, just anything they want. We give it to them and we say, all right, good luck, you know, and we're passive. As long as I don't know about it, you know, don't tell me about it. As long as I don't know about it. No, and I'm not beating up on parenting principles this morning, but I am saying that parents, you better be aggressive or the enemy's going to take your children. You know, I'm going to get in trouble for this, but Seth and Cassandra have been in a relationship for a long time now. What? 8 months. Okay, 8 months. And I'm just going to say that I think they were in a relationship before that. They just weren't calling it a relationship. You know how kids do nowadays. We're just talking, all right? Okay, whatever. I'm not dumb, okay? All right, so anyway, and we have been all up in their business. I'm talking about all up in their business. They have their dates with us. They are not allowed to kiss. They are not allowed to do any of those things because we believe those things are reserved for marriage, and that's just the way it is. And they have honored God in that. They have honored God in that, and I'm so proud of that. But this is new for me, you know. He's my oldest, and this is new for me, and we've had to walk through this. And sometimes it feels like we're being very aggressive with our leadership in their relationship, but I'm sorry, he's worth it. And Cassandra, you're worth it, because we want them to grow up to be mighty man and woman of God, whether they're together or whatever or not. That's up to God. I want God's plan to unfold for their life, and I'm not going to let people dictate to me, well, you need to loosen up. No, I'm going to be aggressive, because if I don't, somebody's going to take the kingdom. Okay. I'm going to finish. Last one. I'm going to tell myself this morning, you got to keep moving. You got to keep moving. Don't stop. It says, write the vision down and make it plain on tablets that he may run. Run. And then I was reminded of what Paul said in the New Testament. Run with endurance. Run with endurance. Why can't we run with endurance? Because we don't know where we're going. But I'm telling you, and I'm prophesying to you this morning, that God is wanting to take you to higher places, to do things that you haven't even yet dreamed of, to show you things that you have not yet known. And God is wanting to make it plain to you so that you can run with endurance and not give up. Because we're all headed to the same place. The same purpose, the same destiny, and that is to spend eternity with Jesus, reaping the rewards of the things that were sown in this life. God is wanting to give you vision. The question is, can you see it? Can somebody say amen? Would you give the Lord praise this morning?
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you are blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.